About 12 years ago, when we first moved here to Washington, Illinois, it only made sense that I would get a local phone number, a 309 phone number to replace my 214 number from Dallas. And so I got that number that I still have to this day, and you know what? I didn't have it long before my phone started to ring. Bling, 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 bling. Bling, 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 bling. Grace Bible Church, Pastor Adam, how can I help you? Yes, is Teresa Thompson there? I'm sorry, no, she's not. There's no Teresa Thompson here. Do you have her number? I'm sorry, I don't. Do you know how we can reach her? I'm sorry, I don't. Did she leave a forwarding address? I'm sorry, she didn't. Click. Bling, 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 bling. Grace Bible Church, this is Pastor Adam. How can I help you? Is Teresa Thompson there? I'm sorry, no, she's not. Did she leave a forwarding address? I'm sorry, no, she didn't. Do you know how I can get a hold of her? I'm sorry, I don't. Click. Bling, bing, 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 bing. Grace Bible Church, this is Pastor Adam. How can I help you? Is Teresa Thompson there? I'm sorry, no, she's not. She's not at this number any longer. You know, and I'm trying to be nice about it because I do answer the phone, Grace Bible Church, Pastor Adam. But, you know, I mean, this was going on for like days and weeks. And eventually it trickled off 2 months. But still, like, after I'd had the number for 3 years, I would get these calls looking for Teresa Thompson. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, man. Her grandmother just really wanted to get a hold of her, right? Or maybe it was her friends, or maybe family, or old classmates that wanted to reach out to her. No, no. None of those people really cared about getting in touch with Teresa Thompson. There's only one group of people that would be so devoted, care about her so much, that they would desperately want to get in touch with her, and that is Christians, right? Oh, well, no, not that either. Debt collectors. That's the only group of people that are that devoted to getting in touch with someone that they will leave no stone unturned. But I share that story this morning because, you know, Christians should have that type of devotion and care and passion for one another. In fact, Paul is going to use that terminology of debt to describe how we should be devoted to one another as we pick up our study together today in Romans 13, 8 to 10. That's Romans 13, 8 to 10, if you want to turn there with me in your Bibles. We're continuing our series on love, in which we've talked about God's great love for us. We talked about our love for God last week, loving God with all of our heart, soul, and strength. And this week, we're going to now talk about our godly love for one another. And this is how Paul talks about it in Romans 13, 8 to 10. He says this, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." As we begin unpacking this passage together, the first thing we're going to see is that Paul says that we owe it to one another to love. He says we owe it to one another to love. He says there is a debt of love that we owe to one another. Right there in verse 8, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another." let no debt remain outstanding. You know, they say that there's nothing new under the sun because, you know, this is kind of the Dave Ramsey special, right? Have no debts. He didn't invent biblical stewardship. That idea has been around for a long time, this idea that if we do owe something to someone, that we should seek to pay it back, to not default on that, and that even repaying that is an act of love and respect, although that's not really the major point that Paul is going for in this section. Rather, he's simply segueing into this idea that we should leave no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. And this is a really interesting way to talk about love. As far as I know, this is actually the only place in the pages of scriptures where love for one another is described as a debt that we owe. So it's important for us to ask, like, why would Paul talk about our love for one another in that way? And that's something I wrestled with as I was working on this sermon. And I think what I came to is this idea that the traditional way that, let's be honest, most of us approach love tends to be passive. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I simply mean it in a Good Samaritan sort of way. That we'll say this, that, hey, I'm a Christian. I want to be a loving person, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go about my daily life, and I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to go to appointments, and I'm going to go to school, and you know what, I'm going to take care of my house. And you know what, if I see an opportunity to love someone, I'm going to take it. I'm not a jerk, I'm a Christian. So you know what, if I see my neighbor and they're unloading groceries from their car and they're slipping and sliding on that half-thawed ice, I'm not just going to stand there. I'm going to do the Christian thing, the Good Samaritan type thing, and I'm going to go over and I'm going to offer to help. When we approach love in this way, we're basically saying, God, I'm going to go about my life, and if you, God, if you bring an opportunity to love in front of me, I will take it. And I will seek to make the most of it. So this is what I'm getting at when I say it's passive. We say, I'm going to go about my life, God, and if you give me the opportunity to love, kind of like the Good Samaritan passing the man on the road, I will take it. But here's the interesting thing. That's not really how anybody approaches debt, at least from a legal standpoint. Hey, you know what? I'm just going to go about my life. And you know what? If an opportunity arises for me to pay back my debt, if I find $100 on the ground or I've got some extra money lying around and it works into my schedule, then I will go ahead and I will pay back what I owe to Visa or MasterCard or to the bank or to OSF for those medical bills. You know, I'm going to just do my thing. And if it works out that I can pay my debt, hey, great. But, you know, we'll just see what life brings. Does it work that way? I mean, I know some of us do it that way, but if you take that approach to debt, hey, I'll pay it off when I get the chance, when the opportunity arises, that's not going to go well for you. That's when you start to get the bling, 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 bling. That's when you start to get the calls. That's when you start to get the letters. That's when the bank starts to reach out to you, because if you don't pay that debt back, you're going to be in trouble. So to pay off debt, that's something you have to be actively working towards. You need to be looking for opportunities. Honestly, you have to make opportunities to pay back debt. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. There is this active quality that goes into paying back debt. And I think that's what Paul is getting at here when he talks about our debt to one another, that this is something we should be actively pursuing. We should be looking for opportunities to make the most of. He's getting us to wrestle with this question. I know that you love your spouse and your kids and even your coworkers and your neighbors and your fellow members of Grace Bible Church, but are you actively, intentionally looking for opportunities to love them? Are you trying to find ways that you can love these people in your life, or are you just kind of sitting back and waiting for opportunities to maybe fall into your lap? There is a large difference between the two. And when Paul talks about our debt of love to one another, I think he's trying to get us to wrestle with this truth. Am I willing to actively look for opportunities to show love to the people around me? Because that is the Christian thing to do. But I suspect I know what you're thinking. This is the danger of preaching on loving one another 2 weeks after Valentine's Day. Some of you are sitting there thinking, yeah, I did that. Because guess what? On Valentine's Day, I looked for an opportunity and I got my wife those houseplants that she said she'd wanted. And you know what? I took my kids out to Culver's ice cream because they love Culver's ice cream. Or you know what? On Valentine's Day, I took donuts in to work out. And you know what? They were heart-shaped ones that I picked up from Walmart. Or you know what? You're thinking, I gave to, you know, that Valentine's project we did here at church. So I did make the most of an opportunity. And you're sitting there and you're patting yourself on the back and you're thinking, I did good. Other people need to hear it, but not me this morning. They can listen, but I'm good. I'm just going to tune out. One, if you did those things, good for you. You know, praise the Lord. I'm not going to take anything away from that. Those are acts of love. Those are acts of love shown to one another, and those are absolutely beautiful. Praise the Lord for that. But I do want to kind of point out one teensy tiny little thing about our passage today, which is this, that debt of love is never paid off. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. You see, we're never done loving one another. That debt is never paid. So it is different than any other debt where you'll say, hey, I finally paid off my mortgage. Hey, I paid everything back to the bank. I finally paid off those OSF bills. Now I can forget about it. I'm done with it. I don't need it in my life. That's how a lot of other debts work. But Paul says this debt does not work like that. We are never done loving others. We should never be done actively looking for opportunities to show love to the people around us, whether that's our spouse or our kids and grandkids, our neighbors, our coworkers, our fellow members of Grace Bible Church. We owe it to one another to love, and we never stop owing it to one another to love. But why? I mean, why should we love all those people in this way? Because the way I'm talking about it, it's kind of a pretty big weight, right? I mean, this idea that we should be actively looking for opportunities to love all of the people around us, I mean, that's heavy. Well, we'll keep reading together, and we're going to see that, well, Jesus tells us to love one another in that way. Why should we do this? Well, because Jesus tells us we should love one another in that way, and honestly, that's how Jesus has loved us. Let me pick up in the second half of verse 8 through the rest of our passage. We're told this, "For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." Jesus has called us to love one another. He says it this way, he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. He actually says that twice in our passage. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. He also talks about the commandments we've received. Whether you want to talk about it as law, that's what God expects of us, or you want to talk about it as commandments, what God has told us to do. However you want to slice it, this is what we've got. God has told us, God has asked us, God has called us to love one another in this way. In fact, when Paul here talks about love as the fulfillment of the law, in all likelihood, he's referencing back to Jesus' teaching his last week before the cross. On that Tuesday before Jesus went to the cross, he was in the temple. And lots of people, lots of the religious bigwigs, they were kind of running Jesus through his paces. They were asking him all sorts of questions. And one of the questions was this, that someone threw out there, well, what do you think is the greatest commandment? Matthew 22:36 records the answer for us. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And I hope it sounds familiar because we talked about it a couple weeks ago. But he didn't stop there. He said, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. Jesus says, all of the law and all of the prophets can be summed up in these two commands. Now, it's good to know all of what Scripture has to say, but he's simply getting at this idea that there are a lot of commands in Scripture. In the New Testament alone, there's, I believe, 1,050 commands that are recorded. That's a lot to keep track of. You might think, can you give me the Cliff's Notes version of that? Well, that's exactly what Jesus does. He says, here's the Cliff's Notes version. One, love God with all of your heart, soul, and strength. Two, love your neighbor as yourself. And that's important. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, if you can remember to love others as yourself, that's going to help with a whole lot of commands. I love how Paul puts it. He says, commands like, do not commit adultery. Well, that's because you're loving your neighbor enough to respect their marriage. Do not murder. You're respecting the life of your neighbor. Do not covet. You are not wanting to take what your neighbor has for yourself. And I love this. He says, and whatever other commandment there may be, a nice catch-all statement, and there's plenty of those commandments, right? Do not bite and devour one another. Carry one another's burden. All those one another commands throughout the Scriptures, all those are captured in this idea of love your neighbor as yourself. If you want to put it positively, love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes we like the don't version of commands. Well, how's this? You know, love does no harm to its neighbor. So don't hurt your neighbor or love your neighbor as yourself. Two sides of the same coin. But they're both getting at that idea that we are called to love one another as ourselves. And I'd also like to point out that, you know, loving your neighbor as yourself brings us back around to this idea that love is to be an active thing. Because we actively love ourselves. Right? And let me prove it to you with a simple example. I've already talked about Culver's this morning. And if I proceed to talk about Culver's, and I say, man, isn't a Butterburger delicious? You know, like the way they smash that burger and it's got that like nice crunchy char on it. Oh, man, and the buns, right? Like, I don't know how they get those buns so fluffy and buttery. And there is something about the ketchup at Culver's that just has that, like, overt sweetness. When you bite into that burger, it makes your mouth pucker, and there's the greasiness of the burger, and it just tastes amazing. And if the burger wasn't good enough, you tell them, I don't want those fries. Give me cheese curds to go with my meal. And you got those, like, ooey-gooey cheese curds that you just bite into, and they're so delicious. And you know, you say, I'm going to get the drink with my meal. I'm going to get that root beer that they make that you can only get at Culver's. And listen, right now, most of you are thinking, what are we doing for lunch after church? Want to go to, right? Because if you decide you want something for yourself, you're not going to say this, Well, you know, if someone delivers Culver's to me this week, that would be nice if I would, you know, just have that. No. If you want it for yourself, you're going to actively seek it out. So either A, you've already decided right now you're going to Culver's after church, or B, you're thinking to yourself, you know, I got to be in Morton later this week. What if I run over there around lunchtime and, you know, I can get somewhere, you know, we got a doctor's appointment at like 11 o'clock over there. Maybe we can just stick around. We can get, like, you are going to find a way to get Culver's for yourself because you have decided, man, that does sound really good. That is how we love ourselves. And the point is that active way we're going to seek these things for ourselves, and that's not a bad thing as long as it's in balance. And the balance that we're called here is to love others in the same way. Are you looking for opportunities to do good things, to show kindness and love and compassion to the other people in your life, to your spouse, to your kids, to your neighbors, to your coworkers, to one another at Grace Bible Church? Not just sitting back and saying, you know what, if it happens and I get an opportunity, I will do it, but actively looking to make opportunities for it to happen. That's what we are called to in this passage. And so my challenge for you, for myself this week, is to love one another. Love one another. And I know that's not exactly new ground or new territory, but I'll also tell you this, now, more than ever, this is harder to do, and this is more important to do than ever before. This is harder to do than ever before because we are still living in a COVID-19 world, which means, listen, I got no delusions, people. I know that right now, your life is probably more complicated than it's ever been. I know that you are probably busier than you've ever been because to do the things you normally do take like 7 extra steps, COVID precautionary steps. We're all busy, our lives are all changing, our lives are all complicated, and because of that, our tendency is to basically turn inward in those times. And I don't mean that in a mean way, but I do mean that in a we say, I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to take care of my family. We've just got so much going on. It's so complicated. It's so hard to do anything out beyond ourselves that I'm just going to take care of this on my own. And you know what? When things get back to normal, then I'll get back to, you know, loving others and caring for others in that way. You know, that's what most of us said when all this started up, what, more than a year, almost a year ago? In mid-March, you know, back then we were saying, hey, just got to get through Easter, and then everything will be back to normal. It's not back to normal yet, and who knows when it will be back to normal. And friends, that's a long time to put off loving others while we just take care of things ourselves. And I understand the temptation. I understand the need to take care of ourselves and our family and to get our family through this, but you know, if we're not loving others as ourselves, we've dropped off half of this Bible for the past year. Because Jesus says, these two commands, love God, love others, that sums it all up. If we're only taking care of ourselves, we dropped a lot out. And we need to pick that back up. And I know it's hard, but it's also what we're called to do. And let's be honest, it's needed. This world is a hot mess right now. I mean, I'm not going to lie. You know it. I know it. I mean, at least it's a hot mess instead of the frozen mess we had through February. But I mean, I honestly, it is. Your spouse is exhausted. Your kids are stressed out. Your coworkers are as run down as you are. Your neighbor is struggling with isolation and depression. That's the reality of the world we are living in. And wouldn't this world be a better place with more of Christ's love in it? That change, that blessing, that starts with me and with you. With us not waiting for things to get back to normal and us to have the opportunities to love, but us making those opportunities to love in our lives. And you know what? Maybe it means making the opportunity to show love to your spouse this week by putting in a little bit of extra work at home so that they can have some time to relax during their evening when they're usually answering emails or taking care of even more work stuff. Maybe it means showing a little bit of extra grace and mercy to your kids when they forgot how to do something on Google Classroom, or they've got that assignment that was outstanding that you just found out about as the closeout of the grading period, and you're like, why didn't you turn it in? Maybe it means making an opportunity to speak encouraging words to someone at work. They could probably use that. Again, maybe it means finding the time to just write a note of encouragement or to reach out and call and check on somebody here in the Grace Bible Church family that you haven't seen in a while. Maybe it means just showing up at your neighbor's house with soup or some cookies. Unannounced, unexpected. Nobody's going to turn down soup. It's delicious. But again, that love, those changes, those opportunities, especially in this world right now, they're not just going to fall into your laps because I know you've got a lot going on. You're going to have to be active about it. It's like a debt that you've got to work toward. You've got to make it a priority. But the world will be a whole lot of a better place if there's more of that love of Christ in it. And Christ says he wants that to come from you and I. So as we go forth today, let us love one another. Would you bow with me in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you in prayer, and we confess. We've been taking care of ourselves. We've been loving ourselves a lot over the past year, and maybe we haven't made it as an important a priority to love others the way we should. I know you understand what we're going through. I know you have grace and compassion for us, so we give you thanks for that, but we confess it to you nonetheless. But Lord, we ask that as we go into this week, we would have eyes to see, opportunities to love that you may bring into our lives. But even more than that, Lord, we ask that through your Spirit, you would give us the strength to make opportunities to love, to seek it out, to find it. Lord, stir our hearts in that way so that Grace Bible Church, Lord, near and afar, that we take your love forth in the week ahead. We pray these things in the name of your Son and by the power of your Spirit. Amen. Let me leave you today with this word of the Lord from Ephesians 6, 23 and 24. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all of you who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. You are dismissed.